The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Court Appointed is meant to be for entertainment purposes and basic legal information only.
Nothing in this podcast should be considered as legal representation nor legal advice.
Only use the knowledge presented herein to dazzle your friends or possibly win bar trivia.
Welcome to Court Appointed, two dudes perspective on legal frivolity. I'm your co-host, Mike Meadows. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Schmerl. And I am just a dude.
Tommy, I was listening to Still Buffering the other day, and they were talking about some of your activities around the house.
Now, this story, there's a lot more to that than what they initially posted. Well, I had no idea I was going to get so much grief out of that.
Here's my understanding. Sydney threw away some trash. You went in the trash and ate it.
That's not it at all. That's not how it happened.
Well, I'll be fair. What's your side of the story?
All right. Look, here's the thing. I'm one of those kind of guys that doesn't like to waste things. All right.
It's fair.
So there was a couple of different things that came into play here. All right. We had gotten Olive Garden that night. Think what you may of Olive Garden, good, bad, indifferent. But we had eaten Olive Garden nonetheless. So when you go get a carryout order from Olive Garden, it comes in a bag and you've got all these containers and there's big styrofoam containers and plastic containers. Anyway, these containers take up a lot of space. Now, I'm cheap when it comes to my garbage bags. I've got one of those pull-out cabinets that's got like two garbage cans in it. And when they get full, I'm the one that has to take the garbage out. Well, I don't like to take the garbage out any more than I have to, and I don't like to use any more bags than I have to. So at the end of dinner, instead of taking all these containers and everything and filling up the garbage, just putting them in there, why not put them back in the bag you brought them and just throw that away?
That makes perfect sense.
So everybody had thrown their containers in the garbage cans, filling them up for me to then have to go empty the garbage right away and waste two more bags. So I was simply gathering the containers and putting them in the bag we brought from Olive Garden to go throw that in the garbage.
And as you're gathering the containers, you discover a virtual smorgasbord of food.
Exactly. I gather the containers, and they're sitting right on top is practically a full bowl of, I don't know, linguine noodles, some kind of noodles, mm-hmm. Practically a full bowl of noodles.
Now, my understanding is that they were covered in some sort of shrimp scampi sauce as well.
Well, they did have shrimp with them. The shrimp had been eaten, mm-hmm. So it was just simply the noodles that were left.
With scampi sauce on them?
Yes, probably so.
Okay.
Well, I didn't taste them, but probably so. I didn't have anything to eat out of any of that.
I would probably eat the scampi noodles.
Well, and they let me also clarify, they were not down in the garbage can, and I dug them out of the garbage can. These were clean garbage bags, and the bowls had been dropped down in such a manner, everything was still intact, just sitting in the container.
Right.
So all I did was just pick back up the containers to put them in the bag to go throw them out. Now, there was alcohol had come into play.
Okay.
I was several beers in at the time, so, you know, everything isn't always, you know, fully coherent. So I'm putting these in the bag at the same time I see Sydney putting some of their leftovers in another container for mm-hmm. them to take with them.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked down, here's this whole bowl of noodles, and I thought it was Sydney's, but I was like, did you want to take these? And I didn't really connect the dots that I had just picked them up out of the garbage and was getting ready to throw them out anyway. I just looked down, saw her gathering stuff to take, and saw these, and my reaction was, did you want to take these? Well, if I had really been thinking clearly, I would have thought, they were in the garbage can, so probably she didn't really have any intention of taking these.
Yeah.
But I wasn't thinking that clearly, so I offered her her trash noodles. And at that point, she was like, where did you get those? I threw mine away. That looks like mine. Oh, well, I think it is. Did you get that out of the garbage, Dad? Oh, well, I guess I did. But I didn't get it out to save it. I got it out to put it in a different means to throw it away. Right. And it just kind of happened that way. So, you know, I've often thought that Mary and I need to come out with a podcast, just a short one, that follows up Still Buffering. Something like After the Buff, After the Final Buff. Yeah. You know, something like that.
Oh, like after, like the After the Walking Dead.
Or After the Final Rose.
Yeah.
After the Final Buff. And we tell the rest of the story there that the girls put in, because there's so many times I find myself talking to my phone because I'm listening to their podcast, like, and they're doing something. I'm like, wait a minute, that's not the way it happened. Yeah, but you didn't tell them about this part that happened first. And I find myself doing that all the time, and I wish I had a rebuttal system.
You could, well, maybe kind of, you're using a bit, this is a bit of a rebuttal system here, I guess.
Well, that's true. We don't normally do this. We don't normally rebut Still Buffering at the start of Court Appointed.
No, that's true.
But there was a point to this madness.
There is a point to this madness. On the Facebook page, the Court Appointed Facebook page, Jim Hansen suggested that after listening to the Still Buffering episode, that we do an episode on trash, and I guess maybe like the expectation of privacy you have, or what rights you have with your trash.
What expectation of privacy did those trash noodles have, and how were they violated and exposed?
Well,
those noodles had rights, damn it.
They did. They had the right to be eaten and enjoyed.
But they weren't. They were getting thrown away. It was just a reaction.
There's some buttery, scampy goodness on those noodles that needed to be eaten.
That's right. A scampy Mike would have taken care of those noodles.
I definitely would. They never would have made it to the trash if I was there.
He
was,
are you going to eat that, Sid?
Yeah, I said.
You're not going to throw that out, are you? See, I didn't have the chance to say that first. She threw them away before I ever got to look at them.
Hey, Sid, you going to eat your cornbread?
Well, you know what, those hush puppies.
So when I say expectation of privacy, basically what I'm talking about, this is, has to do mainly with government interference into like your expectation of privacy, but it stems from the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution. Fourth Amendment to the Constitution reads as this: the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized.
Mm-hmm. Well, that certainly didn't apply to our trash noodles, did it?
Well, no. But when you're talking about trash, because a lot of times there's some cases on point about whether or not if you put your trash out on the curb, whether or not it's, you know,
is it fair game?
Is it fair game? So
whether it's a paparazzi or whether it's a police investigating you,
right,
or, you know, whatever.
So the reason we have this Fourth Amendment to the Constitution and the right against unreasonable searches and seizures basically stems from what the British did here in colonial America. And they had what was called general search warrants. And it was a major point of contention between the Americans and the British.
General search warrants.
Yeah,
and it was a major point of contention. There's a lot of military terms going on there. You could tell what was happening.
That's right.
I thought you were going to say General So's.
No, General
That was in the garbage can, and they had a case out of it. General So's, and it was a major contention.
I was eating some Colonel Sanders chicken. So the basically what these warrants would be is that they wouldn't be specific. They wouldn't say what they were searching for. So basically the British government would just say, there's a general warrant to search Tommy. You can search his house, search his car, his carriage, his trash can, you know, search anything.
Don't search Tommy.
Yeah. So that's why the wording for this is, it says that there has to be particularly describing the place to be searched, persons or things to be seized. So that's why you have to have a bit of a specificity with regards to warrants. So.
All right. But that's on things that are basically within your property or whatever, your house, your car, things like that.
Yeah, pretty much. So, as I said, warrants today have to be particularly describe what it is to be searched and what they're looking for. With regards to trash, so you take your trash out and you put it on the curb. Mm-hmm. The question is that does the government need a search warrant to search your trash? Because would that be considered a unreasonable search and seizure under the Fourth Amendment? So the one of the cases that was on point with this was California versus Greenwood, which was a Supreme Court case from 1988. And it basically held that the Fourth Amendment does not prohibit warrantless search and seizure of garbage left for collection outside the curtilage of a home.
So if it's on your property, that's different? your curtilage?
Yeah, it would be on your property. So therefore, if they're coming on your property, they would need to have some sort of search warrant or probable cause. This California versus Greenwood case. So basically, the police investigator asked the garbage man to bring the police the garbage to look for evidence of any kind of drug use in the house because they had some tips there was maybe some drug use going on there. And the police indeed found evidence of drug use in the trash, and they used that as probable cause for a warrant to search the house. And so then when they went in the house, they found even more drug use, and that's how they built their case. So basically, they took, you know, the step of they went through the trash to base their probable cause warrant to search the house. So when that was argued before the Supreme Court said, yeah, that's fine. You don't need a search warrant to search trash. That was not considered a search for the purpose of a Fourth Amendment.
So I'm picturing like in a neighborhood where you have a sidewalk maybe that goes down alongside the road. So when you put it out by the curb, it's actually on the right of way, which is a public right of way. Now, maybe the public right of way goes so many feet into somebody's yard regardless. Cause like mine, I put at the end of my driveway. My driveway is my property, but since it's at the end of the driveway, is it actually part of the public right of way, even though it's on my property?
Well, now remember what the Supreme Court case basically held was that if it was outside the curtilage of a home, as we talked about curtilage before, curtilage doesn't necessarily mean your entire property line. What curtilage means is the property like directly around your house, like, you know, generally considered within a few feet around your house. That's
curtilage. It's not like your property line per se.
No.
Huh.
So that's why
I would have assumed that.
Yeah, that's why they, because most people probably don't put their trash out in the street. They put
so if you left it up against your house, you could argue that it was within your curtilage?
I don't know. I mean,
what do you mean you don't know? You're the expert. You got all the answers.
Yeah. Well,
I want answers, damn it. Not guesses.
Believe it or not, sometimes lawyers have to argue these things, and that's why they go before the Supreme Court, because there's not a definite answer.
It would probably depend on how the layout of the house and the everything
else.
Yeah,
and I'm thinking probably it would not. They wouldn't need a warrant, because basically you're putting the trash out. So anything you put out like that, you're probably not going to have a reasonable expectation of privacy.
So once it goes out of your house, it's fair game, is what you're saying.
I think so.
So it's laying in the yard. I've heard of them driving by, like, some of these houses out in the country where people are doing meth, and they see certain bottles and things out in the yard that are the materials that you use to make meth.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they gather from seeing those things out in the yard that, hey, we know what's going on there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, wow, why is there a thousand cases of pseudoephedrine tablets here. What's going on? That guy must have one hell of a head cold.
Man, I'd hate to see those sinuses.
So now to kind of take the next step from the trash, because there's a lot of very interesting cases which deal with search and seizure in the Fourth Amendment. Another one was Katz v. United States.
And this Katz, the play?
Katz, yes. Jazz hands. It was from 1967, and this was another Supreme Court case, U.S. Supreme Court case, and it discussed the right to privacy about whether or not it was an unreasonable search and seizure of the Fourth Amendment for someone to basically listen in on a phone call when somebody was in a phone booth. So it kind of, this one kind of deals a little bit about emerging technology, because in the 60s, they were able to use like kind of high-powered microphones to start listening in to people from that would be outside basically what you might be able to hear just on the street. So the technology started increasing. So it presented these new legal issues. And as I'll talk about as we get a bit farther into the episode too, there's even more technology that kind of makes the court kind of have to readjust what they're doing. But in this case, Charles Katz, he used a public payphone to transmit illegal gambling wagers from Los Angeles to Miami and Boston. And basically what the FBI did, they were recording his conversations using some sort of electronic eavesdropping device, and it was attached basically to the exterior of the phone booth. Mm-hmm. And Katz was inside the phone booth, and he basically had the, if you remember what a phone booth looked like.
Yeah, well, from watching Superman movies.
Thinking about that. But he would go inside, and he would shut the door, and he would make his phone calls, and then whatever. So they basically put that listening device on the outside, and they convicted him for the illegal gambling ring he was doing. And basically what he challenged was is that the recordings, they basically constitute a illegal search and seizure under the Fourth Amendment right. He had a reasonable expectation of privacy inside that phone booth, and that they would need a warrant basically to get in there. They'd have to have some sort of probable cause. But they can't just willy-nilly go in there and start listening to him like that. with this electronic device. What the court held was is that the government's activities in electronically listening to and recording the petitioner's words violated the privacy upon which he justifiably relied while using the telephone booth, and thus constituted a search and seizure within the meaning of the Fourth Amendment. Regardless of the location, a conversation is protected from unreasonable search and seizure under the Fourth Amendment if it is made with a reasonable expectation of privacy. Wiretapping counts as a search. That there's not necessarily have to be any kind of physical intrusion.
So if they had gotten a search warrant and then put the listening device on there, they'd have been okay. But the fact that they just did it is what they were, how they were violating.
Exactly. If you have a search warrant, that's fine, because at that point you have some sort of probable cause to essentially violate somebody's rights.
Well, I mean, this guy was using the public phone booth for his business.
Pretty much, yeah.
He didn't want to do it over his own phone line because he was afraid that then they could bring it all back to him. So he was going out to a public phone and doing it so he wouldn't get caught.
Yeah, maybe.
And they had figured that out.
Yeah. Now, if you think about, all these cases, if you get a warrant, that's fine. We're talking about, these are basically warrantless type cases where the police don't even try to get a warrant from the court. They're just out there conducting their police work.
Right.
And just going about their day and thinking, okay, we'll try this to see if we can discover what this guy's doing.
The only reason I would disagree with the Supreme Court, not that it would do me any good, is that in its very name, it's a public phone. If it's public, it should take away your right to privacy, your expectation of privacy, because it's a public phone. It means you're in the public and it belongs to everybody.
Right. But I think this case probably turned on the fact that he had a reasonable expectation of privacy inside a phone booth with the door shut. Whereas if he was maybe just on the street on a cell phone, walking down the street talking, and like a police officer was walking alongside him and heard him with his conversation, he doesn't have a reasonable expectation of privacy because there's people around him. But if he steps into this phone booth, then basically he's assuming that he has that expectation of privacy in there, and therefore it would be a search under the Fourth Amendment.
So nowadays criminal needs the cone of silence that they used to have on Get Smart whenever they had to talk about the something very private, and they would lower the cone of silence. Do you remember that?
I do not.
You don't remember that from Get Smart?
I don't.
Oh, man. I guess that was before your time.
I think I've seen that show maybe once.
Really?
On Nick at Night.
Oh, man, that maybe was a favorite when I was a kid. And that's what they would have, this dome that would come down. It's always something was wrong with it, though. It didn't work. It would amplify their voices instead of, you know, making it so you couldn't hear them, or it would drop on their heads or something.
Was that guy
like
a secret agent or something?
Yeah. Agent 99.
Agent 99.
Maxwell Smart.
Okay, yeah.
And the chief would be the one who would call for the cone of silence. Maxwell Smart would say, "We need the cone of silence." He'd say, "Hey, I'm the chief. I'm the only one that can call for the cone of silence."
So, but are you following kind of like the reasoning for that?
Yes, I follow the reasoning. Like I say, it's a public phone, so I guess you'd say he was within the walls of that. It's a technicality, but he was within the walls, and I assume that's why they put the walls up, to protect your conversation at the time when they made the little phone booths.
Have you ever seen the show The Wire? It's on HBO.
I've heard of it. I've heard it referenced a lot, but I've never actually watched it, no.
Well, I believe it to be probably the best television show ever made. It's really good. I don't know, maybe True Detective Season 1 was pretty good too, but The Wire is, I've watched it through a couple times, and it's really, really good.
I like the Fargo series myself.
I haven't watched that.
Oh, yeah. 1 and 2 were great. Season 3 is out now.
But the basis of the show The Wire is essentially where the Baltimore Police Department gets a search warrant, and they are wiretapping and conducting surveillance on these drug dealers, Season 1 drug dealers. But basically, they use search warrants and wiretaps and things like that, and it's pretty good, kind of. Is a pretty good primer on what the police do, I think, actually, for these searches and seizures. And it shows them actually having to prepare the warrant to basically take to the judge, to get the judge to sign off on it in a couple scenes. I mean, that part's not really stress. It's not like a Law and Order type series where they have a lot of legal stuff in there, but it actually shows them typing up the warrant and getting up on the wire.
So is that what each episode is about, getting a search warrant to listen to somebody's conversation?
No, it's not.
Oh, I thought maybe that's what it was about.
But the one interesting thing in that is that they would get these search warrants. They would get it for a certain phone, like a certain phone number, and they'd have to go ahead and do the whole search warrant for that phone number. And basically what the drug dealers would do is they would have what they call burners, these cell phones they would just throw away.
Right.
They only had certain minutes so that, you do all this work to get probable cause for this one phone. They just throw it away and get the next one, and then you don't have a warrant for it too. So you know, that kind of presents interesting scenarios too. But but the show The Wire, really good. I think you should watch it.
Well, all right. We're always looking for some kind of series once we finish one off to start another one. You know, the new season of Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt's out, so we got to watch that.
I haven't watched that yet. I've watched season one and two, but I haven't watched the third season yet.
Yeah, it's just out. It was just out Friday, I think, was first day.
So now taking the next step, we're talking about technology and how it increases the ability for surge and seizure. Do you think that you would have an expectation of privacy for the heat coming off your roof or through your walls from, say, thermal imaging?
Well, I would say no. Because, I mean, it's just something that anyone standing on the street could pick up if they had the right thing. So I don't think that you could say that you have a right to expect no one could tell, but I don't know why you'd want to look at that.
Well, it's interesting that you use that phraseology of anybody off the street, because that kind of played into the court's decision on this one a little bit. The case was KYLLO, Kylo v. United States, and it was a 2001 case. What was going on is the people that lived inside this house were using grow lamps to grow marijuana, and it was giving off an extra heat signature. And so back in 2001, the technology to, I think it's FLIR technology, was just kind of coming of age, where you could actually shoot that at the side of a house or at a roof and see, like, oh, wow, there's a big heat signature coming off that garage. What's going on there? You know, why is this one house lit up like that and all the rest aren't? So in a pretty close decision, the Supreme Court basically held that the use of that thermal imaging or the FLIR device from a public vantage point to monitor the radiation of heat from a person's house was actually considered a search within the meaning of the Fourth Amendment, and you had to have a warrant for it. So they said basically you should go ahead, and if you're going to try to do that kind of stuff, you need to have probable cause and you need to go ahead and get a warrant before you can do that. One of the things that the Supreme Court talked about when they were talking about that case is they discussed the fact that the technology used, the FLIR technology, was not like, it was kind of specialized. It wasn't like some sort of technology that was just everybody on the street had. So they kind of talked about that a little bit.
So like if it was a setting on your cell phone and you could hold it up and look at anybody's house and anybody could do it, then it's common enough where it wouldn't be. But if it was something specialized that only like the military or somebody like that had, then now it makes it, you have to have a warrant.
I think so. Yeah. And I think that was kind of what the Supreme Court was concerned about, is that they were setting precedent for like kind of a slippery slope of issues where the technology would kind of outpace the Fourth Amendment with these kinds of things.
Well, I think you have to look at what are you really trying to accomplish? Because I would almost compare that to like random drug testing. When you random drug test, you don't test somebody just because you think they're on drugs. Mm-hmm. You're testing them because it's one of those things that you can't ever take them if you're worried about this random drug test. You can't ever do drugs because you might be subject to a random drug, and it'd be the same thing. Don't grow illegal drugs at your house if you're worried that somebody with a heat sensor might look at it. What's in the public good?
But the problem for that is that you just can't randomly drug test members of society, because that's considered a search and seizure too, to take their bodily fluids like that.
Well, I'm talking about like you could do it as part of your business.
Right.
You could randomly drug test your employees. They randomly drug test high school students that participate in sports.
Right, but that's a big, big, big step from just randomly testing people's houses for these kinds of things.
Well, I'm just saying that any type of a random drug test is kind of the same principle to me, regardless of what the circumstance is.
Legally speaking, you're wrong. because these houses are just out there in the public. And
well, my brain works funny, and that's the way it works.
I'm going to stick an FLIR device on your brain and see what's going on up there.
Right, a flyer. Take a flyer on it.
No, because you got to think about it. These are people's houses, and if they really believe that there's some sort of illegal activity going on there, then they should be able to state that for a warrant and get a warrant to do that. What we were trying to do is keep people from unnecessary harassment by the police.
You know, well, I understand that, but it works both ways. What if people were more afraid that the government had the ability to find these things that were going on, then would they be so apt to do them? Maybe it would reduce crime.
No, I don't think it would.
I don't think that we should just protect the criminals. And I feel like we're protecting the criminals.
You're not protecting the criminals, but you're basically protecting everyone else's rights. If you want to give away your civil liberties to the government, you can go ahead. but I'm not going to.
I got nothing to hide.
I don't have anything.
I'm an open book. Come look at anything I got, I'll probably tell you about it. You wouldn't even have to get a warrant. I'd tell you whatever you want to know.
I don't have anything to hide either, but I'll be damned if they're going to come into my house without a search warrant.
I'd invite them. I'd say, come on in, fellas. What do you want to look for?
Nope. That's un-American.
Un-American?
It's un-American.
I got nothing to hide.
I said, I don't have anything to hide.
You guys can have a beer.
They're not allowed in my house without a warrant. Nope. Can't come in. Get a warrant.
Well, you lawyery types are like that.
Yeah, I don't necessarily trust the government. And
you don't?
No, absolutely not.
I'm here from the government, and I'm here to help you.
That's right.
You don't believe that, huh?
No, I don't think so.
That's one of the three biggest lies or something like that.
So another interesting thing, if you think about like a search and seizure, is that basically if you're standing outside somebody's house and you smell something coming from the house and it smells like marijuana, like weed.
I smell weed, man.
Yeah. Is that weed, man? Well, that, you know, that would not be considered a search, and you would require a warrant for that, basically, because you're basically smelling it. So, So it's, you know, sensory.
So that's
like
probable
that.
Cause.
Yeah. Then you could use that as probable cause for a warrant to search that house. So that's how that would go.
But you still have to get a warrant.
To search the house. Yeah.
Well, if you smelled it coming from the house, that isn't enough probable cause to enter.
It probably could be, but you're probably wanting to get a search warrant for it. You don't
just to make sure.
Yeah. You don't have to get a search warrant if there's exigent circumstances. Basically means if there's some sort of urgency for it, but
he's going to smoke it all up before I can get in there and help.
Pretty much, yeah. But I was talking about the actual sensory perception of smelling it does not constitute a search, basically, under that. So,
okay. You know, so don't go to a David Bowie concert or something, right?
Yeah. Or what was the concert I went to? A Cypress Hill concert.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was it was in an indoor place, too, at the House of Blues, I think it was.
And yeah.
That was an experience. Couldn't really see the stage so well, actually.
You get a secondhand high.
Well, it was foggy in there. So
very foggy.
Along the same line, different kinds of cases about growing drugs and things like that. Do you think you have a reasonable expectation of privacy for your utility bill, like for an electric bill? So if you have all these grow lights and things like that, and it causes your electric bill to go up, do you think the government has a right to your electric bill?
Oh, well, thing is, I don't know. I mean, then they would have to work in collusion with the electric company or something like that. I mean, they're not going to be able to find that out on their own. They right. can't say, send me a copy of this guy's bill. They could just flag something and say, if you see anything that's this much of a percentage different or something like that, then do it. But you got so many variables involved in that. I don't know. I mean, you know, like if you're not on the budget plan,
right?
You know, my bill's $300 difference from one to the other because I got electric air conditioning, but I got gas heat.
Yeah.
So my electric bill goes way down in the winter, but it goes up in the summer.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got those kind of things. You got things, sometimes things aren't working right. I know my dad had a problem at his house, and he gets an electric bill that's normally it's around $200, and it was $1,300.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Well,
was he growing some weed in there?
Well, no. He had two different units.
Mm-hmm.
One got stuck on wide open running.
Mm-hmm.
The other one got stuck on the heat. So it was running the heat wide open while the other one was running the air conditioning wide open. Temperature stayed about the same in the house. And his is all electric. So he gets a bill, $1,300, and can't figure out what's going on. And they both went bad in different directions at the same time because it was in that period where you're switching back and forth between the air conditioning and the heat because some weeks it's cold and some weeks it's hot. So one got stuck on one and one on the other, and they were running wide open for over a month. And he didn't notice it because they were working against each other.
They were working perfectly for what they were doing.
Yeah. So he could have been caught under something like that.
That's funny.
Well, it wasn't funny to him. He had to pay the bill.
Well, yeah. I mean, but that's not funny that he had to pay the bill, but
that it worked that way. Yeah.
I mean, because he normally think, well, if it got stuck running wide open, then why didn't he notice it? Well, the other one was running the other way.
Yeah. They were working against each other.
What are the odds?
But I don't know. I mean, there's so many variables involved in that. It would be hard to tell. So you would almost, I guess what you're saying, what you're describing, you would almost already suspect that's going on. So all you're doing is looking for this as another indicator. If you're going to go to that extent, why not just get the search warrant?
Right. That's kind of like the whole thing is if you have this much reason to interfere with this person's life, then you should probably be able to get a warrant for it.
Yeah. You've already got some type of, you know, suspicion about it for some reason. And that's just something to confirm it further. So go ahead and get the search warrant. Don't be lazy.
Well, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in U.S. v. Golden Valley Electric Association, they basically said that you have no expectation of privacy for your electric bill or your utilities. Basically, all the DEA has to do is subpoena the records from the utility provider. They don't have to get a warrant. They can just subpoena it, and then they have to send it over.
Well, I mean, it is a public utility.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's weird because you think that...
It's a public phone booth. That doesn't matter, but it's a public utility, and it does.
Yeah. I mean, these cases kind of turn on some really small little, I guess, differences that I don't understand. I don't understand why they wouldn't have to get a search warrant for that. But, you know, they do have to get a search warrant for basically looking through some sort of fancy camera that sees heat.
Well, The truth is, if you went to some other court, they might rule differently. I mean, it's just an opinion.
Well, they might, because that was the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is...
Could have gone to the Supreme Court after that, right?
They could have, yeah.
If they thought it was worth it.
Yeah, but there might be other cases out there in different circuits that have a different opinion on that. I'm not sure if there are or not. But there's other cases I was talking about. Those are all Supreme Court cases. They're the law of the land.
So right.
They control. I mean, the whole thing about these different Fourth Amendment things, too, is that, I mean, honestly, with the passage of the Patriot Act and all that, like, who knows what's really going on out there? Because after 9/11, we gave up a lot of our privacy rights, I think, to try to get some sort of safety from them. So
it's the old pendulum.
Yeah.
It's always swinging, depending on what's going on, you know, at the time, everybody was all about the freedoms. Then this happened, and everybody in America said, oh, we need to know what's going on. If they can take extra steps to protect us, we need them to listen to that to find out what's going on. This maybe could have been prevented if we had allowed those kind of things.
Yeah, and I think with the Patriot Act, I think we rushed to it too soon. I think it gave the government too much power.
And then if we go for a long period of time and nothing too serious happens, it'll start swinging the other way and people will start saying, well, we got to loosen it up. That's not right that you do that. And you'll find judges that will come along and they'll agree with that.
Yeah.
You know, and so it starts swinging in the other direction. It's just like we were talking about the death penalty.
Yep.
How the death penalty always ebbs and flows based on what the crime rate's doing. As the crime rate increases, more people call out for the death penalty. And then as the crime rate decreases, people start saying, well, maybe we don't need the death penalty.
Yeah.
So, but it's usually lagging behind because it takes so long to orchestrate these things and vote them in or out that by the time you do it, it's already going back the other way.
I think as far as like with regards to 9/11 and terrorists and things like that, I think that they are very aware of what civil liberties we have and things like that. And that a lot of what they want to do is they want to put us in fear for these types of things and basically have us give away our rights like that. I think that's one of their goals. I mean, you know, well, I mean, it's probably to kill Americans too, but I mean, you know, as far as 9/11 is concerned, but I mean, I think that's one of their goals too, is to make you live in fear and give away your rights and worry about that.
Well, I don't know that anybody has to make us live in fear. I mean, you have these things that are going on. You have the different truck attacks and cars running up on sidewalks and running over people. You know, you have all those kind of things going on. And I don't think that they're manufactured things that are going on to make us worry about, are we safe? And, you know, it's like one of those things where you never want to say it's working because you don't know when somebody will come along and prove you wrong. But I mean, thank God, knock on wood, we haven't had another 9/11 type incident since that. Now, is it because of the extra measures they're doing? I don't know. And we'll probably never know because we don't know about the things that they intercept before they happen.
That's true.
Or the people that they got. Maybe it is creating a safer society for us. Maybe it's not. They're only going to tell you what they want you to know.
Well, talking about the Patriot Act, I always think of the show Arrested Development.
Yeah.
You watched that show, didn't you?
No, I never watched it.
You never watched that?
No, you talk about it a lot, but I never watched it.
I love that show. Well, one of the main characters, Michael, he's talking to his attorney. He says,
no wonder you like him. Has he got your name?
Yeah, Michael Bluth. He says, he's talking to his attorney. He says, I'm sorry, I don't understand how this is not a conflict of interest. I mean, you almost represented us, and now you're the prosecutor? And the prosecutor, his name's Wayne Jarvis. He goes, the Patriot Act. Read it. they made a couple of jokes throughout that show to the Patriot Act, but it was a pretty impressive piece of legislation, to say so.
But that's what we as a society have to constantly be weighing. how much are you willing to give up to be safe?
Yeah.
And, you know, there's certain people that are going to push more one way, and there's certain people that are going to push more the other. And I think it's a pendulum. I think it will ebb and flow. And if things go for a long period and we don't have any, you'll see people wanting to loosen everything up. And you'll see courts ruling against some of these things.
Well, I think the one thing you can kind of take away from this podcast as far as like your reasonable expectation of privacy is that if you're in your home, you pretty much do have a reasonable expectation of privacy. If you're out in public, if you're walking along the streets, if you're in your car, things like that, you have less of a reasonable expectation of privacy. Therefore, they might not need a search warrant to basically have a search.
So. Well, let me ask you this. I saw this on the Facebook discussion when this whole trash noodle concept came up. Is there a difference between a garbage can and a dumpster? Because a dumpster is technically private property. If you put something in a dumpster, can people go in and get it out because you put it in a dumpster? Or is it private property and it's your curtilage extends to it?
Now, are you talking about the government? Or are you talking about like just Joe Schmo off the street or what?
Anybody. I mean, could you get somebody for trespassing if they got in your dumpster and got something out? Or could the government go search your dumpster and find evidence against you if they suspected something and they didn't get a search warrant?
I think they don't need a warrant for it. I think you don't have a reasonable expectation of privacy if you're throwing your trash in a dumpster. I really don't.
So don't hide bodies in there and think they're going to the dump okay, huh?
Yeah, I would not suggest that.
Find a different spot to bury your dead bodies. Don't put them in the dumpster.
Be like Dexter. Take them out into
the ocean.
Into Biscayne Bay and drop them.
Chop them up and drop them out.
No, actually, don't do that. This is that would be bad. So
that would be bad?
Yeah, don't kill people.
So throw the whole body in?
Nope, just don't kill people.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure what you were advocating there.
Yes. I'm advocating me keeping my law license and not telling people how to dispose of bodies.
Don't kill. Killing is bad. Exactly. No.
So, but yeah, I think as far as somebody coming, like if you have, say you're remodeling your house and you have a dumpster like right up against the side of your house and you're dumping trash in there from like, you know, drywall, stuff like that.
Right.
I think if somebody actually walks up on your house and probably goes in there, I think they're probably committing a trespass because that's on private property. Now, could the government come up in there and go through it? You know, I don't know. Probably not. But I think once that dumpster leaves the house, then probably it's no longer
private.
Yeah, it's no longer private.
Hmm.
So maybe if you have a dumpster like
so once it becomes common garbage, they dump your dumpster in with the other garbage. It's now common garbage and it can be looked at.
Yeah.
But once they do that, then you could say, that's not my garbage. That didn't come out of mine. That must have already been in there from somebody else's.
That's true. I guess I could say that. I don't know. I mean, some of these things you have to take on a case-by-case basis. I don't know. It'd be interesting to research that if there is a difference between dumpsters versus trash cans versus...
Because there was some discussion about that on there, about if you're in a dumpster's private and a trash can isn't. So yeah. I don't know.
I think you probably don't have a reasonable expectation of privacy. But then again, if it's up in your curtilage, I don't think the police can come searching through it.
Without a search warrant. Yeah, a search warrant, they can look anywhere.
Yeah, they get a search warrant. As long as it's not a general warrant, which the British used to get.
General Sows.
The search warrants in this day and age have to be, particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. And if you ever read through one, like the police, when they put them out.
I've never read through one, and I hope I never do.
Yeah, well, I have. But they're usually very specific. They describe exactly why they want it, stating the probable cause, and then where they want to search. They just can't say, we want to search for stuff near Tommy's house. Like, they have to say, you know, why and whatever. So.
No, they'll find my buried treasure.
Your buried treasure? You have buried treasure in your backyard?
Yeah, it's under the X.
Is it some donuts back there that Mary threw away from you because you were getting the whole thing?
Yeah, the donut she threw over the hill. That was the other part of the story. They found out where my donuts went. She threw them over the hill, fed the deer with my devil's food donuts. I love those things.
They're good. Well, that's going to bring us to...
Legal Briefs.
So Legal Briefs is the part of the show where we go over different topics that we talked about during the course of the show. And I asked Tommy if he remembers what they are. Sometimes Tommy asks me if I remember what they are. Sometimes he quizzes me about cases and whether or not a dumpster's It's a reasonable expectation of privacy. I don't know the answer to.
And sometimes he asks me if I remember where I'm at. And I'm not ever sure a lot of times.
So the first term is general warrants, not General Sal.
General Tasso. General warrant. A general warrant was the type that just said, we just want to look at this guy's house to see what we can find. Instead of saying, we want to go here and this is what we're looking for and this is why. It doesn't have the specifics.
Right. And are those legal now?
No, they're not legal.
It's because the British were, the redcoats were doing that.
Right. The general warrant was a major concern about keeping our privates private.
Yep.
And subjecting them to corporal punishment.
That's right. Going through our trash and finding our Colonel Sanders chicken. We need to end this. So the next one is expectation of privacy.
Expectation of privacy is that a common person doing something would be expect that their privacy could be maintained, such as the example used about talking in a phone booth. If you're in a phone booth, you would expect that anything you say is private because you're in there with the door shut, if anybody still knows what a phone booth was.
Some of these cases, I guess, are getting a bit dated.
Yeah. Well, a lot of public phones then for a while were just a little hood type thing.
Yeah.
And they weren't even enclosed like our actual phone booth.
Yeah.
I would guess you wouldn't have any expectation if you're in that.
You know, they
on
still
that have, kind of public phone?
You know, they still have a cool phone booth?
Where?
Monty's Pizza.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it inside or outside?
Inside.
Really?
Yeah.
Phone booth inside a building. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I mean, you used to do that all the time. You run in place. Hey, do you have a public phone? Yeah, right over there. You don't get a public phone anymore. It's just 2017. What do you mean, pay phone?
And where does our right for an expectation of privacy come from, if you remember?
The right of our, it comes from God. That's like the 11th commandment.
Close. That was one of the commandments that got broken off. It was the very bottom. It's
the fourth amendment.
That's right.
Fourth amendment. Hey, I pulled that one out. Came back to me as we were talking about it.
I
was thinking life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness and privacy.
As I was pointing that FLIR device at your head, I could see it heating up as you were coming to that conclusion. Yeah. It was the Fourth Amendment.
It's a flaw.
The flaw?
The flaw. That's like a guy giving us directions in Waycross about how to take this back road when we were driving down towards Tampa. And he said, well, you take 23 on down there till you see the far tar. Then you pick up 80. And I said, the what? Far tar. You mean the fire tower? That's what I said, didn't I?
The far tar. Yes, sir. So the last term is one that we've had before.
Uh-oh. Curtilage. I hate to miss it twice. Curtilage. Well, and we established the first time it was not the worn-out stuff in my knees and my shoulder.
No.
It is the area directly around your house. Evidently, it does not relate to your property lines.
Nope.
It's just the area directly around your house itself makes up your curtilage.
That's right.
Okay. was that good of a definition that I guess got a that's right? Even you have to clarify my right answers because they're not that right.
You nailed it.
I nailed it.
Nailed it.
Woohoo!
Well, that's going to do it for Legal Briefs. Well, I think that was 100% today, Tommy.
Well, I've been studying, even though I had no idea what we were going to talk about before we came in, although I am glad to get my side of the trash noodle story out there.
That's right.
I do not go digging through the trash looking for leftovers. I wasn't wanting them to eat. It just was a coincidence that they were in my hand when she was loading up her leftovers, and the thought occurred to me, maybe she wants those, without the preliminary thought of, maybe they were in the garbage can for a reason. You just never know what might happen.
That's right.
But stay tuned for After the Final Buff.
After the Final Buff? Yeah, kind of a clever name.
Yeah. That's
you all could start it like episode one. Like, and now for the rest of the story.
With Paul Harvey.
Yeah.
That's another one nobody remembers.
I remember that one.
You do?
I do.
Well, must mean you're getting old too.
Probably.
Thanks to everybody for listening, and thanks to MCRB for use of their song, Doctor, Lawyer, Indian Chief.
And thanks to the McElroy Stable of Podcasts for the use of their recording studio. Their podcasts include Mabim Bam, Sawbones, and Still Buffering, as well as many other fine offerings. And please, take the time to rate and review us on iTunes, especially if you liked us. If you didn't, well then, not so much.
You're not supposed to say that.
You always edit that out though, right?
Usually.
Good.
This has been Court Appointed. I'm Mike Meadows, your co-host. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurf. And I'm just a dude.